Well, that was wonderful. Hey, thank you so much, worship team. That was awesome. That was great. Thank you. Thank you. That was great. So much fun to be in the house of God, worshiping, singing, letting it all go. That's wonderful. Oh, little discombobulated here. You know, I had something very terrible happen to me when I was in college. I couldn't believe this actually happened, but it actually happened to me. I realized suddenly one day I am 2 hours away from a final exam, and I totally forgot about the final exam. I totally forgot to study for it. I'm not prepared at all. I have 2 hours, and I got to jam in an entire semester of history in 2 hours. I'm going, oh, no, what have I done? I'm like crying out. I'm trying to find my notebook. Couldn't find my notebook anywhere. I'm like, where did this? And it was in my book bag, and I couldn't find my book bag, and all these friends are coming in. They started distracting me. And next thing you know, it's just 2 hours later, I'm at the exam, and there's a piece of paper in front of me, and here comes a test, and then I wake up. I said, oh, it was just a dream. It was a nightmare. Oh, yes. Yes, it was just a nightmare. Oh, I was saved. You ever have one of those kind of dreams where it's like you're just so glad it was just a stupid dream? Now, of course, you have dreams on the other side, too. Like once I had a dream, I was playing professional hockey for the Philadelphia Flyers. We were in the Stanley Cup playoffs, championship game. I scored 2 goals and assist. We won the game. Like, yes. Then I wake up and I go, oh, it was just a dream. I was like, oh, no. And so, you know what you do when that happens? You, like, quickly shut your eyes. You go, oh, I'm going to go back to bed. I'm going to go back to sleep. And it doesn't work. Yeah. You know, dreams are wonderful, funny things. They are used by God in our lives. And most times dreams are just dreams. They're kind of meaningless. They're you know, whatever. But sometimes God speaks to us through dreams. Today's going to be a little bit different kind of sermon. I'm going back to the Christmas story, and we're going to look at the dreams that occurred in the Christmas story in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. And looking at the first bullet point here is, know that God is with us, even in our dreams. The Christmas story, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18-19 reads, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had it in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, you can all imagine if you're Joseph and then all of a sudden you're in the betrothal period, you're not supposed to sleep with your spouse in that engagement period. That only happens after you are officially married. So they're engaged, and all of a sudden she's pregnant. Surprise. And she says the craziest thing in the world. It wasn't some other guy. It was God. Yeah, you can imagine going, yeah, whoa, what do I do? Like this is, and he was a righteous man. He didn't want to publicly shame her. So he's like, I'm just going to divorce her quietly. And the Christmas story moves on. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph did what the angel of the Lord told him to do, that is to take Mary as she is, knowing that he was going to be probably assumed that they couldn't wait, if you will, for the wedding night. And suffer that shame for years and years. And yet he was a righteous man. He obeyed God. The angel of the Lord told him in a dream, quoting Isaiah 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." How did Joseph have such courage to do something he knew was going to be viewed as shameful? He had the courage because God spoke to him through an angel in a dream. And with that, he was able to withstand probably a lot of public shame. When God speaks to us, he will speak to us at times through the word. He'll speak to us sometimes through conviction, sometimes through nature, sometimes through wise counsel. He also speaks sometimes through a dream. And when God speaks to us through dreams, it's meant to comfort us. It's meant to encourage us. It's meant to strengthen us. I remember when my wife and I wanted to come to go to Hawaii to church plant, I had a strange dream. I dreamed I was on the beach in a kind of a rental house overlooking this beautiful tropical bay. And I was with my wife, and we're on the porch overlooking the ocean. And I'm like, what is that in the water? Are those whales? No way. So I run down the stairs with Tyler, run over there, and there are three big whales so close you could almost touch them, and dolphins, all this kind of stuff. And I woke up and I'm going, wow, that was insane. That was incredible. Like, what was that? That was God speaking to me, saying, I got you. You're going to be okay. You're going to experience amazing things. Be encouraged. Be strong. Go forward. And that was the Lord speaking to me through dreams. He'll speak at times through you through dreams. In review, God is with us even in our dreams. Number two is God uses dreams to supernaturally guide us. Some folks that may think that dreams might be kind of weak theology and that it's not really mentioned that often in the scriptures. Well, actually, it is mentioned in the scriptures a lot. I'm going to go with you several of these. There are more than 20 examples of God speaking to people through dreams in the scriptures. I'm going to go through a bunch with you here quickly. God warned King Abimelech not to touch Abram's wife in Genesis 20, verse 3, through a dream. And God said to Abimelech, "You're a dead man." And he's like, "Oh, why am I a dead man?" It's because that woman you're about to take as your wife is someone else's wife. And he's like, "I didn't touch her yet." God spoke to Abimelech through a dream. Jacob's ladder, where Jacob saw a ladder coming down from heaven and angels ascending up and down in Genesis 28, verse 10. Again, this is in a dream. In a dream, God warned Jacob to leave his father-in-law's house. And a couple chapters later, in another dream, God spoke to Jacob's father-in-law not to harm Jacob. Joseph dreamed about his brothers and his father bowing down to him in the form of wheat, and then a later dream in the form of stars. When Joseph was in jail, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker had two dreams, one each, that was given to them by God that Joseph correctly interpreted. 2 years later, Pharaoh himself had a dream that Joseph interpreted and that raised Joseph to be seated as second person in all of Egypt. When God scolded Aaron and Miriam about their attitude towards Moses, God said, "Listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." Then the story of Gideon, Midianites, these were not Christians. They were not at all. God spoke to Midianites about the coming wrath of Gideon in the form of a big bar loaf wiping out the tents. Later, King Solomon had a dream where God came and spoke to him, "Hey, ask anything you want from me." Wouldn't you love to have that kind of dream, by the way? I would love that kind of dream. But anyways, Daniel was given the ability to interpret dreams. Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar over Babylon, had two major dreams in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 4. Daniel had a major dream in chapter 7. And the prophet Joel in the Old Testament said, God said this to the prophet. He said, "And afterwards, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." And finally, Pilate's wife had a dream. And she shared it with Pilate and said, "Don't have anything to do with Jesus. I suffered much because of him. and Pilate didn't listen. Dreams, when God speaks through dreams in the scriptures, this is not some hobby horse theology. This is a fact of how God speaks to us at times. It's found in the Christmas story too. The question I guess most of us might be asking is, well, how do you interpret dreams? And the scriptures tell us, how do we interpret dreams? It comes from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, and then a little bit later in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, and I'll read this a little bit later. Notice here, this is what the purpose of prophecy is. I had this translated in three different English translations to give you a general gist of what the purpose of prophecy is. And the NIV translates 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3 as, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. That is, prophecy strengthens, encourages, and comforts. Cool. The New King James Version translates this as, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. The ESV translates, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbringing and encouragement and consolation. Prophecy is God's gift to mankind to strengthen, encourage, comfort, edify, build people up, to exhort. I had a gal come up to me and she said, Pastor, I had this horrible dream. And I'm wondering, can you help me to discern whether it's from God or not? I already knew the answer. In fact, all of you all here, you already know the answer. When someone comes to you and says, I had this horrible dream, that ain't from God. She said, oh, I had a dream, my dad died, and blah, blah, blah. And finally I said, listen, this is not from God. And the reason why is I took her to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Did this dream strengthen you? Did it encourage you? Did it comfort you? Just no, I was scared. That's not from God. That's not from God. Now, if the dream comforts and encourages and strengthens you, the first thing you do is write it down. Because believe me, at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you wake up and you go, oh, what? That was amazing. I wonder if that's from God or not. I'll think about it tomorrow morning. And you go back to bed at 6 a.m. and you get up 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. Forget it. You're not going to remember those details. No way. I've tried that. It does not work. Unless you have like an amazing memory, for me, it does not work. I will get up. I'll turn the light on and write it all down. And then I go back to bed. And the next morning, I have all the details. Nice. That works good. And then the second thing you do is you test it. How do you test it? The scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29, it says, let two or three prophets speak and let others weigh what is said. And a few verses later, so my brothers earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done decently and in order. That is, take your dream to some Christians, a small group of Christians, three or four friends, and say, I got this crazy dream. I'm encouraged by it, but I'm not too sure like what it means. Could you maybe help me figure out what this might mean? And you bounce it off one another, and you talk about it, and you chat about it. This is one of the ways that we discern prophecy, is whether it's from God or not. If everyone looks at you like you have two heads, you're going, probably not from God. But if everyone's glued to what you're saying, and they're on their seat, and they're excited, they're talking about it, and they seem to have practical application, and you're encouraged and you're comforted by it, that's probably from God. And it's oftentimes it's not meant just for you, it's meant for many others around you. I was reminded of a story of a pastor who was planning a church, and sometime in the plan of the church, his wife had this dream, this strange dream, and she was a ballet, she was on stage. The ballet stage, if you will, massive stage, bright lights. You can't see anything in the audience because when you're on stage and there's real bright lights, you can't see past the first row. It's all dark. And so there's probably 40 ballet dancers on stage. And you know how ballet dancers dance? They dance very elegantly, very beautifully. They're dressed great. They're like twirling and whirling and going this and going over here and they're going over here and they're looking all beautiful. And then this voice comes out in the darkness, and this woman, this past wife, knew it was the director. And he says, oh, that's all wrong. That's all wrong. Everyone sit down. Everyone get back. And then he calls a pass. Like, I want you to come here in the middle of the stage. I want you to perform because I want you to perform like it's meant to be. And so she goes, you know, all the ladies kind of go this way and this way. And he goes, oh, okay. So she kind of steps out there. And she knows she's dressed in like shabby, like pajamas. And then she dances about as good as I do. Like, but just worshiping the Lord and twirling around and just not pretty. And then the voice behind darkness says, that's what I want. That's what I want. Because she was worshiping the Lord with all her heart. And she wakes up and she tells her husband this. And then they get some of the leaders of the church together. And they should talk about this. And they realize this is a word from the Lord to the church saying, it's not about performance. It's about the heart worshiping the Lord. It's about the joy of the Lord. And not don't get caught up in how beautiful you look or it just no. It's about the worship of the Lord. And the dream was meant to be interpreted and to be a blessing to many. So when it comes to dreams, know that God is with you, is with us, even in our dreams. God uses dreams at times to supernaturally guide us. How do you interpret dreams? We just discussed that. And then 4, when God gives a dream, obey. When God gives a dream, obey. The Christmas story continued where the wise men came from the east and they're looking to find the Messiah. They saw a star in the west and they followed this star and they came into Jerusalem and they asked King Herod's court, where's the Messiah? We came to worship him. We saw his star. We knew he was born. And all of Jerusalem were up and they were up and like, they're like, what? They're like, this is crazy. And so King Herod asked his religious advisors, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? And said, oh, in Bethlehem. And so then King Herod said, okay, wise men, why don't you go check it out for us? When you find him, come back and tell me so that I can pay homage to him also. Now, first of all, it's pretty sad because Bethlehem is about an 8-kilometer walk from Jerusalem, and it's downhill. Well, it's 8 kilometers downhill. I know that plenty of us here walk more or just as much as that every day here living in Suzhou. No one want to go check it out? That to me is crazy. So the wise men go down there, and they follow the star, and they finally come to Jesus, and the Christmas story continues. And it says, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened the treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So the wise men, they find Jesus, and they're like, wow, this is like, you know, at the end of the several month process coming from, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles plus from the east, they finally get to King Jesus, and they're just like, they present him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, gold, that's good. Everyone loves gold, right? No problem there. Frankincense, also very valuable for making incense for the Jews. And myrrh, like, what is myrrh? Myrrh is a resin that you collect from a tree, from a certain tree, a myrrh tree, where people would take a big knife and they would stab the tree and rake the knife down the tree and cause the sap to ooze out of the tree. The sap is the color of blood, dark red. And when it's dried, they take a knife and they would cut off the sap, and it'd be myrrh. And it's very valuable to Egyptians for embalming purposes. And they present these strange gifts to Joseph and Mary. And I'm sure they're like, okay, this is kind of crazy. And they worshiped the Lord. They worshiped him. And then when they, with all this great, great victory, and after this huge, long quest to find the Messiah, that night, they were divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod. They departed for their own country another way. God warned them in a dream. And what did these wise men do? They're like, oh, we're not going to tell Herod, no way. So they left another way. And I like to think they left another way, not just physically, like a different route that they took back to the east, but maybe another way in their own hearts after beholding Jesus. And the Christmas story continues. Next verse, it says, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Now we have another dream again. These wise men leave, and Joseph and Mary have all these gifts. Unbeknownst to Joseph, these wise men have dreams about not returning back to Herod. They go their own way. Now remember, Bethlehem to Jerusalem is 8 kilometers. It's a two-hour walk. These are princes. I imagine they're not walking the distance. They're probably on a camel or on a horse, which cuts that time in half. They're 1 hour from Bethlehem, I mean, from Jerusalem. Now, when God woke up Joseph and said, hey, Joseph, I want you to flee to Egypt because King Herod's going to want to destroy the child. You can imagine what Joseph might be thinking. He might be thinking, well, it's 1 hour for them to get to Jerusalem. And if King Herod hears about this, he might send soldiers, which it may be 1 hour coming back. I got a pretty tight window. And look what Joseph did. It said that he took the child right away. It says, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Joseph left right away. He obeyed God. He obeyed God. That's the biggest blessings in life, is obeying God. Sin is called the great ripoff. It's the great ripoff. But obeying God brings rewards and blessings. Because what happens if Joseph didn't obey God? The story would have been a lot different. But thankfully, he did obey God. And God will speak to us at times through dreams. This is in the Christmas story. There's 3 accounts of dreams in the Christmas story. In fact, there's 2 more accounts of Joseph being spoken to in a dream that continues in Matthew chapter 12, which we won't look at there. There's 5 dreams, if you will, in the first 2 chapters in the book of Matthew. God speaks through dreams, and it's meant to encourage and meant to strengthen us. I'm going to close a story here. My daughter, when she was about 8 years old, she said she had a dream, and she came to Tyler and me, and she's like, mommy, daddy, I had a dream. I'm like, oh, okay, what's your dream? She goes, I dreamed I'm going to go to Mexico before I'm 10 years old. I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird. Like, what do you do if your 8-year-old comes to you and says, I had a dream? You know, you're like, oh, that's like, it's nice, you know, yeah. You get a little smile on her face, and you pat her on the head. And afterwards, I'm like, hey, so do you want some American over-sugared cereal filled with preservatives and food dyes? She's like, oh, yes, I'd love some, you know. And so, you know, you just kind of like forget about it, right? And about a year and a half later, about a year later, my denomination that I was with had a big national conference in Houston, Texas. That's right above Mexico. And I'm like, oh, that's... like, we'll go to the conference. We're planning to go to the conference. It should be kind of fun. And I think to myself, huh, like what else can we do that's like in the area there? I'm like, what about Mexico? And so I looked up airplane flights to fly from Houston to Cancun. And I did not know this, but Houston is a major hub for all of Central America and Mexico. The flights were super cheap. I'm like, oh, no, wait, wow, this is really cool. So I looked up, oh, what kind of hotel can we go to? And we looked at the Hyatt Hotel. Oh, let's stay at the Hyatt. Super cheap, awesome. I'm going, this is great. And then we're going... all of a sudden that dream hits us like a smack on the forehead. Psh, like, oh, no way. Kayla's going to go to Mexico before she's 10 years old. Now mind you, in the same dream that she had, she also said that, and the Lord told me, I'm going to speak 3 languages before I become an adult. Oh, okay. I'm going to learn 3 languages. Like, oh, okay. So as we were in Mexico, we have a great time in Mexico. She had this fascination and this love for the Spanish language. And she wanted to learn Spanish. I'm like, okay, that's nice, you know. And then in 9th grade, she had an opportunity to go and register or kind of be considered to go to Barcelona, Spain for a year as an exchange student. And we signed her up and she got chosen. And she is in 10th grade going to Barcelona, Spain to learn Spanish and also Catalan. It's two languages. And she learned both of them in 1 year. That's amazing. And then in her senior year, we come here to China and she fell in love with China. And now she wanted to go to college in China. And so she went to a college in Shanghai and learned Chinese. Now, why do you think God gave this dream to my little girl when she was 8 years old? Because she wanted to encourage her. Step out. Take that bold step of faith. Step out. Trust the Lord. He will speak to us at times. And at times, he will speak to us through dreams. It's found in the Christmas story. And I believe there's some here. God has spoken to you recently in the last year or so through a dream. And it's meant to encourage you. It's meant to strengthen you. It's meant to guide you. Does it sound good? Let's all pray. Dear Lord Jesus. I'm sorry. One more picture. There it is. We made it to Mexico. Let's close the word of prayer. Lord, I want to say thank you so much for giving to us guidance, giving to us dreams. And Lord, I there's some people here, Lord, I know there are. There just is. Bless them right now, Lord, to understand the dreams that you give it to them. Bless these people right now, Lord. Those who have supernatural dreams. God, I pray they would want to talk to some friends who are Christians today about their dream. How are you guiding them? How are you blessing them? I pray, Lord, for the rest of December that we'd have dreams about you, Lord, and the greatness of who you are. And you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is an honor to come before you this month to remember your birth and to celebrate your greatness. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I fall short of your grace. Forgive me, Lord. And come into my life and be my Savior this Christmas. In your name, Jesus. Amen. This is, usually we celebrate communion on the first Sunday at SIF. Last Sunday, we had a wonderful distraction from communion. We had an amazing Christmas buffet and special event at the Marriott. That was awesome. So we postponed communion till today. And communion is a wonderful sacrament given to us by the Lord on the night that he was betrayed. And it's into this communion and this sacrament we're going to celebrate with partaking of the elements. The Lord wants us to remember all the good things he did for us on the cross. And he gave us the sacrament of communion to help us remember his body being broken and his blood being shed. We're gonna partake the elements of the bread and of the wine together to remember what Jesus did. Because he is worthy of our praise and worthy of our adoration. At SIF, we ask that if you haven't really gotten right with Jesus, you haven't really asked Jesus to come into your heart, we ask you please abstain from communion for right now. But if you have asked the Lord to forgive you your sins and you know, you really have and you're trying in this direction, we ask you please come partake. We're not going to ask questions as far as what denomination you came from or anything like that. Just come forward. Just come forward.